Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Helsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here are your hosts. They aren't only breaking all the rules, they're absolutely revolting. Keith Helsley and Nathan Caldwell. If these guys were in the woods, squirrels would drag them up a tree.
Hey, welcome everyone. This is your host, Keith. It is time for Quest for Truth. And hey, in this season of the year, with holidays coming up, Thanksgiving especially, and later Christmas, hey, we sometimes change our format up a little bit to be thankful or to celebrate those holidays. It's also a little bit rough to get together in a studio. And so what I've decided to do is I've asked our co-host Nathan Caldwell about some thoughts on being blessed, being thankful. And he directed me towards a sermon that he preached last March. I think it was early March. It's on Psalm 66. It's a pretty complete, how would you put that? Praise towards God. And my first thought is, I kind of scratched my head, I didn't quite get it. But as I read through and followed along with his sermon that he did, it's like, you know, that attribute of the God's sovereignty and almighty immenseness and power is definitely something that we should be thankful for and grateful for, because without him, even in this Old Testament psalm, it depicts him giving us life. We owe everything to God. He owes nothing to us. And that's something to be grateful for, because he is merciful to give it to us anyway. Well, let me go ahead and turn this over to Nathan Caldwell, and I'll be interjecting some comments and observations of my own as we go. We're not going to make it through this entire sermon today, but I kind of anticipated that. I'll break it up at least into a part two and probably a part three, because with my long-winded nature, it drags it out just a little bit. But it's the sections that I have it divided into fit really well in standalone presentation. So it's just something to do, to think about as we approach Thanksgiving, things to be thankful for. Sometimes our things in our world aren't very accommodating to that in political and social environments. Well, anyway, I'm still talking too much. So here, let's turn it over to Nathan Caldwell right after this. We'll do a pre-recorded presentation.
Two great books and one website. Visit scribingforeternity.org. There are two books that I would like to recommend you purchase. What they, meaning people who aren't Christians, other religions believe, and what we believe. Systematic Theology Made Simple. Both are great resources, especially if you plan on witnessing to somebody. scribingforeternity.org.
Internet link established.
So you want to be a podcaster. Our mission is to encourage and equip you for excellence in podcasting. Your hosts are Andrew Rappaport, host of The Rappaport and Apologetics Live, and executive director of the Christian Podcast Community. Together with Colleen Sharp, host of Theology Gals and chief administrator of the Christian Podcast Community.
Topic.
Universal praise. This is from Psalm 66. The psalm itself is called How Awesome Are Your Deeds. But we didn't make it all the way through. But let's go ahead and look at universal praise for God's kingship or sovereignty, you might say. Starting out, we'll get to verses 1 through 7. We'll see how far we go after that. So first, let's open up with a word from Nathan Caldwell.
All right, turn to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. We serve an absolutely amazing God. There is no doubt. And there are many reasons that we should praise him. Now, this world don't think much about praising him. As a matter of fact, the world likes to use his name as a curse word. Quite often. But here, David tells us to praise him. As a matter of fact, the first thing he says is what? He says, make a joyful noise. Well, I know of three ways that we can make a joyful noise. There's probably more than that, but I know I thought of three. One is we can tell it. We can tell others what God has done for us. You want to know how to share your faith with somebody. You want to know how to tell them how to be saved. It's real easy. You tell them what happened to you. Because you can only be saved one way. There's only one way to heaven. So if you're going to heaven, you know the way. It's Jesus Christ and him alone. You called on his name. If you've done that, then you know what you did. Absolutely nothing. Except for call on him. For forgiveness and mercy. And grace. And if that is all he did for us, we should be telling that all our lives. But folks, let's be honest. Now that's the most important thing we should tell, but that's not the only thing that we have to tell. There is so much more, isn't there?
Now, of course, Nathan preaches out of the KJV. And although I use it for study, in fact, I use it for my notes today. I'm going to read from the ESV because it says the same thing, but it puts it a little more easy to understand. Verse 1, to the choir master, a song, S-O-N-G, a psalm, P-S-A-L-M. A slight difference there, but they're pretty close. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Now, I think Nathan went ahead and read verse 2, but I'll get to that in a moment. But let's look at a few key things there. There's a word that talks about shouting. It's actually a joyful shout. You know, there's a thing, it's called, I think it's onomatopoeia. It's a word that sounds like what it is. Wow! It's exclamation. Pop. It's the sound like a cork might make or a balloon might make when it pops. Well, the Hebrew word for this joyful shout, and I think King James may even put it, make a joyful noise. It's ruah, ruah. And what that reminds me of, Lion King. Listen to my roar, or I'm practicing my roar. So this is a joyful roar. To the Lord. Wow. It's an ear-splitting shout, and all the earth. And the word there for earth doesn't necessarily mean the globe. It just means land. It can mean soil. In other words, not only the people, but all the world, all the land is also commanded to shout. How does the land shout? Hey, you know, God made everything good. It's been man who's messed it up. And I think the land does shout in praise of God in its own way when you have the, you know, just the beauty of nature, the rushing waters of the river. This past year has been an interesting one with COVID. Started out winter, everyone's hunkered down, staying inside. Everyone's worried about, should we go out? Can we go out? But you know what? God's nature didn't wait. The flowers bloomed, the grass grew, the bugs and the critters and the squirrels all came out. They didn't get the word to hunker down and keep silent. So, hey, if we don't shout, God's nature has a way of doing it. Well, let's move on and have Nathan finish up what he was saying there on this thought.
And then, the third way that I thought about praising was to shout it. You know, when we are in church and you agree with me, but not me, the scripture and what the Bible has to say, many times, amen comes out of the mouth. Directed at God, not at me. And that's a praise. Every now and then, you'll hear somebody say, praise the Lord, or hallelujah. Everybody looks at him, but every now and then you hear him say, that's praise. Now, I had the opportunity of preaching in a church where that was the norm. And you talk about an uplifting atmosphere from the music to the preaching. It was absolutely incredible. Why? Because they were praising God. And they were praising Him without worrying about what anybody else thought. I'd be okay with some of that here. I really would. Now, I'm not judging y'all. I'm not saying that. We, though, grew up in a setting, and I'm actually included in this, and Susan is too. Grew up in a setting where you just sat there. Oh, you might say amen. But you rarely heard a hallelujah or a praise the Lord. If you got a good Sunday morning, you hear a lot of amens. And that's fine. It helps to know people are listening. But oh, to hear praise, genuine, heartfelt praise to God the Father and Jesus Christ His Son. Is that not why we even serve, is to bring glory to God?
Now, let me get back, circle back around on verse 2. In this psalm, it says, sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. The word sing the glory of His name, it's a musical word. It means like the sound of fingers on a stringed instrument along with the lyrics. So it's a combined sing. It's, you know, music and words together. Sing the glory. Give to Him glorious praise. Now, glory means honor. To praise means to sing a psalm. A psalm is what we're reading here. It is definitely lyrical words. And, you know, whenever I guess the Jewish folk read, especially the Psalms, they read them in a kind of sing-song, melodious type manner. And so I'm guessing that means you're kind of singing a cappella. You're singing God's own words back to Him. So if you don't know what to sing, grab a psalm like this and sing God's words back to Him. And seems like Nathan commented about how singing helps his day go by, and it really does. If you got a boring task, one of the best things you can do is cue up some music, whether you're the one doing the singing or not. I don't go to the gym too much anymore because I've got some issues with my foot is not behaving for me. And of course, with the lockdowns, the gyms have been closed. But often, if I'm going to, say, ride the bike at the gym, if I pop in some earbuds and cue up some jazzy music, man, you can just be pumping away doing, 60, 70, 80, 90 RPMs and not even notice it. And you'll be on there for 15 minutes, maybe 20. And you hop off and it's like, whoa, that was an awesome workout. But if you don't have music going and you don't have, that upbeat tune in your head, man, that 5 minutes can seem like 20, I'll tell you what. But yeah, music, there's something about it. It, whenever you're down, it picks you up. It keeps you going. It keeps you motivated and energized. And we should be that way. Singing loudly, shouting and praising to God. Let me go ahead and continue on with Nathan here.
There are many reasons to praise. One of them is His power. Look at verse 3. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works! Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Through the greatness of your power. Well, I'll tell you something. Through His power, He can do a lot. It's because of His power that we know that those who believe in Jesus Christ, no matter what they go through, in the end, there is victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? It's gone. Because God has it now. And then when I think about His power, there's another thing I think of. I think of how small we are in comparison to the almighty power of God. To say we are an ant isn't small enough. I'm not sure that to say we are an atom would be small enough. Because God is so great and we are so not. And yet, He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, meaning God came down here in the form of a man to die for my sin and yours. How can He love us? He shouldn't, by our standards, even know we exist. But He does. Not only does He know we exist, He made us. And when we mess things up, He fixed it. Now that's power. And that's a reason to praise.
Okay, once again, I'm going to read the ESV. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. Wow. Okay, when it says, how awesome are your deeds, that word awesome can mean fearsome. I think it's in the King James, of all things, it says terrible. But what it should maybe be more accurately is terrible. Because when God's, we see He's awesome, He should strike, I think the word is yare, fear, into us. A reverent fear, the fear of something that's both beautiful and dangerous at the same time. Like the Grand Canyon, beautiful. Take one step too close off the edge of that lip of the cliff, and you'll find out how dangerous it can be. You know, that ribbon of the Silver River down below looks peaceful, but they say when they get down in it, it's got lots of white water rapids in it. But it's both awesome, it's both fearful and reverent. That's what God is. His deeds, and deeds, it's just like a generic word, it's what you do. It's just the average thing. God does it. But whatever God's average thing he does is so great. His great abundant power or force causes his enemies, the haters of him, his adversaries to submit. They have no other course to take when they encounter God's power, because his power is so great. And people may shake their fist and say, you're just an invisible God and you can't do stuff. And we have tanks and machine guns and atomic bombs. Well, you know, what kind of power does God have if he's the one who created our planet, our solar system, our universe? I don't think an atomic bomb's going to put a dent. You know, we talk about the force of nature. Go out and try to stop a hurricane. I dare you. Next time there's an earthquake, I dare you. Stop it. Take control of that little baby. That's just nothing to God, but that's an average deed of his. God deserves our praise and thanks and honor and worship. But here, let Nathan Caldwell add some more here.
Look at verse 4. It says, "All the earth shall worship you and shall sing unto you. They shall sing to thy name, Selah," or Selah. Don't know how you pronounce it, but what it means is dwell on this for a moment. Think on this for a moment. So we will. In the end, everybody will bow. Paul says in Philippians 2:10 and 11 that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It will happen. Now the choice is, are you going to do it this side of eternity and go to heaven, or are you going to do it over there and not?
All right, verse 4 in the ESV. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name, Selah. All the earth, all, means all. The earth, again, that's land. It could mean globe. It could mean just land, you know, or soil. But all the earth worships. That word worship means not just to, hey, we're going to go and sit in church today. No, that means bow down on your face out of honor and respect and worship. I remember years ago, a young pastor we had in our church, he asked the question, what would you do if Jesus walked in the door right now, God himself in the flesh? Would you turn around and look? Would you stand and praise and raise your hands in worship? Would you stand there and reverently bow your head? So you know what I would do? I would be face down on the floor, trying to crawl under the carpet out of worship for Christ our King. But we should sing to God's name. And name represents his honor and authority he has over us. We should worship that authority, not try to rebel from it. Here's some more from Nathan Caldwell.
God's power is unlimited, which leads us to the next reason we should praise him, and that's his works. His amazing, marvelous, wonderful works. Verse 5 says, "Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There we did rejoice in him. Now that happens some time before the psalmist wrote. But we remember it today. It's recorded in his word. And this is amazing that when the Israelites saw no escape, God caused the waters to open up to the point that there was no water on the ground. That's a lot of moving water. Because I can bucket water out. There's always going to be a little bit I can't get up. Like even when you mop, there's that little bit you can't get up. When God does it, he does it right. Not only that though, the Egyptians were foolish enough to chase them in that water or in that path. The water closed and the Israelites made it. The Egyptians did not. That's power. That's power. And that's what our God can do. How about the fiery furnace? How about the three Hebrew children that refused to bow down to idols were cast in a fiery furnace so hot that if I remember right, the people that threw them in died, which was pretty hot, and yet they were untouched. Oh, by the way, the Son of God, before he was born, was with them that day. Seen. How about the loaves and the fishes, the five feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 7,000, I believe. Look at that. He did it twice. That goes to show that when Jesus, or God, they're both, God is Jesus, Jesus is God. There are another three separate individuals, but when God does something, he's able to do it again if he wants to. He can do it again if he wants to. You know what that tells me? That tells me that if I'm going through something and I don't see an escape, and I remember that God has gotten me through this mess before, that he can do it again if he wants to. Is it a guarantee? No. But God's got my best interest. Well, friends have died. Family have died. I hurt. My heart is down, is gone. This person has this illness, that person has that illness. Well, there is sin. But I will tell you this. Everything that happens has to go by God's best first. And I will tell you this. God isn't one to allow something and not have a plan for it. I think of a group of 12 people, pretty close-knit group. Actually, there were 13 in the group. One of them sells one out for 30 pieces of silver. The one that was sold out was Jesus. And I guarantee you the 11 felt betrayed. And it hurt. I have a feeling it hurt Jesus' heart, and he knew it was going to happen. But God still allowed it. But it hurt. But that pain brought my redemption and yours if you've trusted Jesus Christ. He will allow suffering. Sometimes he may cause a little bit of suffering, or a lot of it in Jesus' case. But there's always a reason, and there's always an end goal in mind. And I guarantee you, if he starts it, he's going to finish it. Oh, by the way, talk about power. How about when Jesus rose from the dead after dying for our sin? Now, there's just some power. Now, we're getting on that season, aren't we? We're getting on into where we start talking about that a little more. Why don't we talk about it all the time?
Verse 5 from the ESV. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of men. And just love that word, awesome. R.C. Sproul used to... Sproul, yeah. He preached or had a devotion or something. I remember listening to a podcast where he went on about how we misuse the word awesome, because when it's applied to God, again, it just means both something that is beautiful and terrifying at the same time, because he deserves that honor and reverence and respect. But again, God's awesome, fearsome deeds should be revered amongst us common men. Now, there's something that Nathan made a comment of. Actually, there's a couple things, but I wanted to comment about this. That he mentioned the children who passed through the fire. If this is a psalm written by David, this isn't talking about that. That's out of context. I see the connection, but it would be out of context. And whenever this psalm is talking about passing through fire and water, it's probably more what has happened in the past. That said, okay, let's look at verse 6 and we'll take it from there. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him. Now, the fact that the sea was turned into land took a definite divine supernatural action. And they passed through the river or water. It's a generic term. This fluid or water. They passed through the water on foot. So whenever God did this divine supernatural thing by turning sea into dry land, the people could do a natural act and pass through. And of course, there did we rejoice in him. Now, let's listen to some more from Nathan Caldwell.
We talk about how everything's got to go by God's, I say desk, I know he doesn't have his throne. Now, there we go. Everything's got to pass by. He approves it or he stops it. You know what we call that? We call that sovereignty. It's a big word. It means that God has ultimate authority over absolutely everything. Look at verse 7. He rules by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah or Selah. He rules by his power. His power is so great that he will determine what happens and what doesn't. He even says, let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Why? Because they aren't going to get away with anything he doesn't allow them to. Which I find almost funny. To think that the devil is trying to get one over on God, but he practically has to ask God's permission before he does it. I love it. I think it's great. to go against a God this mighty, this amazing, would be foolish. Yet it happens all the time. Some are atheists, but to see the complexity of this world, that shouldn't even be a thing. Some are of other religions, but God has a way to correct people if they're willing to learn.
Let's look at verse 7 from the ESV. Who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. The word for rules is similar to the word that was used earlier when it said God's power, God's force. This is, rules is a similar word to that. It's more of a, what they would call a feminine or passive voice. So it's kind of softened. It would more mean, instead of force and power, it may be more like victory or valor. So what he's saying is he rules by his might forever. He is victorious by his might. And of course, forever is the way it's used, it's similar to how you would say a vanishing point. So his victory lasts into the vanishing point, if you know anything about art and perspective.
It says his eyes behold. And it's kind of a phrase that gives a word picture of someone who is leaning ahead to peer into the distance. In other words, God just doesn't see what's around us in the here and now. He is ever watching out for our benefit before we even get to where we're going. The term rebellious it means to turn away. Those who have turned away, they have no room to be exalted, to be raised up, to be prideful in themselves. In fact, God won't let it happen. Now, let's go ahead and just mention a few truths from what we've could take away from this, and that is that God is greater than we are. He is amazing, and we're not. To sing, shout, praise, to fall down prostrate and worship is how we should respond out of thanks and gratitude towards God. He does put us to the test, but even in a trial, he protects his faithful ones. Enemies who hate him have no room for pride, and they will be eternally defeated.
Are you just watching?
Do you enjoy watching movies?
The special effects, the interesting characters, the great stories.
There's a lot to enjoy that comes out of Hollywood. But sometimes it's best to approach secular media with a healthy dose of critical thinking.
Join me, E. Franklin.
And Tim Martin.
As we discuss our favorite movies.
And share critical thinking for the entertained Christian.
So visit areyoujustwatching.com to subscribe.
And don't just watch.
All God's Women with Sharon Wilharm. Working our way through the Bible, one woman at a time. One of the many great shows on the Christian Podcast Community. ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. When you're there, just click the button to see all the shows and you will find Sharon and her podcast. Excellent stuff as she presents all the women, even the obscure ones, as she goes through the Bible. Check it out. Okay, and there we have it. God is so awesome.
both beautiful and terrifyingly great, to be adored, to be worshipped. And I hope this has inspired you to consider just this one way that we should be thankful of God's mercy. We all the nations, all the world should be worshiping and praising Him for the good things He has done. And if you say, what good things? You're looking at what man has messed up, not what God has done. Anyway, thanks for that. Oh, and should say thanks also for the mention there to the Christian podcast community and the other podcasters. They're awesome stuff. Good teachers all, and good words on different areas, different topics. Everything from homeschooling moms to pastoral support. Well, anyway, this is all I got. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening. This is your host, Keith, signing off. See you next week. And tell a friend about us.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at HPNcast, capital H, capital P, capital N, capital C, AST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May God richly bless you. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.